Thank you, worship team and Pastor Cornell, as we've continued to worship God by the reading of His Word, by the singing of songs, and by hearing of His Word. Let's continue to remember that what we do here today and ultimately how we live our lives is an act of worship to the God who's created us, the God who redeems us, and the God who has gathered us here this morning. The Book of Numbers. I remember in seminary, my professors talking about, especially the Old Testament professors, saying things like, make sure you preach in the Old Testament books. Don't just stick to the books you enjoy. You want to cover the entire breadth of the Old Testament and the Bible itself. But I remember in seminary and reading scripture and preparing for the sermons going, why the Book of Numbers? In many ways, it's very boring. Leviticus is very boring. Why would we read these books? What part do they have to tell in our own story as we come before God? Because I don't know about you, but other than to cook food, I haven't made any animal sacrifices or burnt offerings, which is kind of how I tend to cook, is the burnt offerings side of things. But what relevance does this ancient, bizarre, Middle Eastern culture have to do with us? And what's more, what does a census in the middle of the desert have to do with you and I here in a land that is full of abundance, where we get our meals by going to the grocery store or our favorite restaurant or sharing with a neighbor? What does this have to do with us? Why is it important that we read it? And on the one hand, I'd say it's not, if I was going to be quite honest, because we don't take censuses, I don't know how you say that, of a church. I mean, sometimes we do, but often it's not necessarily for the right reasons. We want to know who is there, who wasn't, who should we go track down because they weren't at church maybe on a Sunday or whatever else. On the good side of things, we pay attention to these things to say, where has so-and-so been? We need to make sure they're doing okay. But taking a census is not generally what we do. That's something the government does. That's something to keep track of us and to know how to set budgets and all those kinds of things. So what does this census of God's people have to do with you and I? Before we get to that, I want to just set up the picture again so we kind of know where we are in the story. Because as we read the scripture, and this is the reason my professors told me all the time, make sure you preach through the entire book of, or the entire Bible. That's why in our Bible study this morning, as we were talking about John the Baptist, or Ray Vanderland was talking about John the Baptist, he shows how John the Baptist was, in fact, taking on the life of Elijah and this connection that's happening from Old to New Testaments. So let's set up where the story is for the people of God as we come to Numbers chapter 1. God has rescued them through Moses. He's called Moses to go rescue them out of Egypt. They've left Egypt under crazy circumstances. All sorts of plagues and destruction happen. And it's not until God takes the firstborn of all the Egyptians, including Pharaoh's firstborn son, that Pharaoh finally relents and says, get out of here, be gone. We don't want anything to do with you. You're causing too much pain for us. And so the Israelites escape under Moses' care to the desert, and then Pharaoh kind of wakes up and goes, wait a second, we're not going to let them get away with that. And he goes chasing after them, and God rescues them a second time as they go through the river, or the Red Sea. It parts, and they pass through, and it closes in behind them, freeing them from Pharaoh's pursuit. And they come to Mount Sinai. They're in the desert of Sinai. And they're at the base of this mountain. And where we come to in chapter 1 of Numbers is they've been there for a little over a year. It says in the first sentence there, Moses was meeting God in the tent of meeting the first day of the second month of the second year after the Israelites had escaped Egypt. So they've been sitting at the base of this mountain roughly for a little over a year. They've been doing their thing. Moses has gone up the mountain. He's received the Ten Commandments and the law of God. He's brought it down. He saw the Israelites being a bunch of morons that they were, just like you and I, distracted by the call of God. And they decided, Moses has been gone too long. Let's worship a golden calf. I don't know how that relates or why they thought that was a good idea, but Aaron seemed to go along with it. And so they're behaving terribly. They're misbehaving in the desert. And Moses comes down, he gets frustrated, he throws the stones, he goes back up, he gets more stones. I mean, I don't know how many times he had to go up and down the mountain ultimately, But they're just hanging out in this wilderness. And they're wondering what God is going to do next. God's called them to build the tabernacle and to construct it. And in Exodus 38, they take a census then. And in that census, they collect money in order to get the supplies for this tabernacle that they're going to build. But they're hanging out in the desert for a little over a year, which to me sounds like a bad experience, not a rescue. And so I often mock the Israelites for their grumbling and complaining that we see throughout this wilderness experience. But if you and I had to sit at the base of a mountain with running water that came from a rock on the command of God, quail that shows up every once in a while on the command of God, manna that comes every morning, same meals every day for a year and a bit in the desert, I would be a little grumpy too. I would wonder, what is going on? We are the people of God. What are you doing, Lord? And so Moses, which is his practice, it seems, is at the tent of meeting on the first day of the second month, a year out from being in the desert during the second year. And God appears to him and says, count the people. That doesn't seem like a great plan. But he provides a way. And interestingly, God says, I'm going to send you the leaders, or go get these leaders, the leaders that you need, the heads of the clans to do this census. If we remember back to Exodus, Moses was trying to do all the work by himself, and his father-in-law comes and says, this isn't the best way you could do it. Maybe you should divide the work up. So Moses is learning, which is good. He's here, and he's divided the work up. And they're going to go out, and they're going to count the people. There's a few things about the census. First of all, it says count everybody, not just the men, not just the women, not just the children, but count everyone you have. We have it take a census of the whole Israelite community by their clans and families, listing every man by name one by one. And interestingly, in the Hebrew, as I was reading about this the other day, the actual phrase is count them with regard to their skulls. So how many heads do you have at the table to do the work that's going to be required? And so we count every person, list them as practically as possible. And it's not just any man. It's any man 20 years and older. And so that tells us that there's some military administration going on here. They're gearing up. There's something in the census that has an administrative point of view, preparing them for war, because it's the men 20 years and older who would, if they're going to engage in a war, would go out to it. Back in Exodus, the census that's going on, it's a religious sort of thing, or a worship piece, because the question is, who's going to give the money in order to build the tabernacle? And so in this place, God says, count everyone, but skull by skull, count the men 20 years and older. And so we can anticipate that something, God is preparing something. What does it have to do with us? Why would we approach this? Because when we, as the people of God, are called to be on mission with God, we, as the people of God, every man, woman, and child, are called to be his people, reflecting who he is in whatever space we find ourselves. And so as we begin at the beginning of Numbers, God is calling them, take an account of everyone who is present, because I'm interested in who is there. And you need to be as well, Moses and Aaron. It is important that we know who's present. The goal is not to say, who can we rely on? Or who's going to give the most money? Or who's the most holy? Or who's the biggest trouble? The call of God, the accounting of God, is that we, when we look around, know who one another is. Because we're all going to have a role to play. And as we look farther on, we go into chapter 2, which we're not going to take on, and I spared us from reading through all of the census accounts, but please feel free to go in there and read all the names, and you can wrestle over them as Pastor Cornell and I both did in this passage. There's an accounting and an importance of knowing who's in the game. And there's a specific accounting of who's going to do the difficult task ahead. And so for the Israelites in the desert, is their mission is to go take the promised land. It's to worry about the men 20 years old and older, because those are the guys who are going to be leading the front lines. Those are the guys who are going to fulfill in this warring culture the taking of the land before them. As a side note, as we know the story of God in this, interestingly, the way they take the promised land, at least Jericho, is with the trumpet players. It's not the fighting men. Because the call of God is not do things as everybody else does them. The call of God is do them as I, your God, your Redeemer, tell you to do them. And so it's important that as we embark as a church into a new era, a new season, a new leadership, all those kinds of things, that we look around the room, that we take an account of who is present with us, because we're all going to be going into this adventure together. We as the people of God need to make sure that we know who's present so that we can continue to encourage and challenge and call one another forward in the mission as God calls us to do. If we're not paying attention to one another, if we haven't, so to speak, taken a census, people are going to get left behind. Others are going to run ahead of the pack outside of the community. But the call of God is to know who you are as the people of God and to follow Him wherever He leads us. We, like the Israelites thousands of years ago, are still engaged in the mission that God has had from the very beginning. And that mission is to rescue His creation from sin and death. Through Jesus Christ, He came and accomplished that task. He inaugurated the kingdom. But our call and our mission is to be the people of God built up to reflect His glory and to invite others to participate in that mission wherever we go. And so there's so much more involved than just saying, we're the people of God and we do church every Sunday, or we have a really good Bible study, or we have a really good children's program. The people of God know who one another are as best as possible. If we were 1,000 people, it would be impossible to know one another intimately. But we know one another as best we are as the people of God, that we can encourage and challenge one another to become all God has called us to be and to invite others to participate along the journey. Yesterday, when we were here cleaning the church, there was many, I don't know how many people were here, 30, 35, somewhere in there, as people came and went. And everyone had different tasks that they were involved in. And the one question, other than at lunchtime when all the kids were asking, when's lunch? The question that was being, and that was beautiful yesterday too, is there was kids here, there were seniors here, there were young adults here, there were middle-aged people here. Everybody was here to some degree. And as we gathered, the question that kept getting asked, and all of us kind of diverted it onto somebody else, was, what needs to be done? And so someone would ask me, and I'd say, go talk to Neil. Someone would ask Neil, he'd say, go talk to Ian. Someone would ask Ian, he'd say, go talk to Tyler. And then I'd say, well, just go ask Brenda. She's in the kitchen. Talk to her. And so we had a list of things that we were going to accomplish, which I think nearly everything got taken care of. But we found other things as we went that needed to be done. But we did that by paying attention to one another and asking one another, what work is there to do? What things can we do together? And so we had people washing light switches. We had people patching holes. We had people cleaning carpets. We had people emptying shelves and getting rid of things that are no longer of any use. There was all sorts of work going on in many different areas, from youth to senior, people engaged in the cleaning of this building. Now, that's a very practical and easy thing to look at and say something got done. But our task over the next days, weeks, and months ahead is to say, God, who are you calling us to be? We see each other. We're looking around the room. We see we have young and old. We have newborns and those who are at the very end of life. Where is our mission place? How are we to grow together? What is the next steps for us as a church? And here's the deal. God called Moses in the tent of meeting to go take a census. but he also called Moses to go to the heads of the tribes to engage in the work, to take account of every skull around. Not because they wanted to boost the numbers, but because everyone had a role to play. Everyone was important to the people of God. And so the question before us, as we embark on this new adventure, standing at the base of the mountain, at some point going to be called out into the wilderness and to take the promised land, is what is God calling us to do? What difficult questions are we going to have, or decisions are we going to have to make? How is it going to challenge us, or how is God going to challenge us to be his people as we continue to live day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year? And as we go through this series, so we're going to cover the first 14 chapters of the book of Numbers, not every chapter, otherwise we'll be doing a lot of name reading. But the challenge before us over the next 8 weeks is to continue to wrestle over that question and be willing to make the difficult decisions that God is calling us to make. And so we see in the beginning part, taking a census, God tells Moses in the tent of meeting, take a census. And if you go to, I believe it's verse 18, it says, they called the whole community together on the first day of the second month. The people indicated their ancestry by their clans and families, and the men 20 years old or more were listed by skull or name one by one, as the Lord commanded Moses. God said, take a census. They took a census. And it's always easy to respond to God obediently when the work is simple. But as we get to chapter 14, 13 and 14, and they send out the spies into the land of Canaan to determine whether they're going to move forward or not, a difficult decision comes before them to say, are we going to move into this land God has called us to? And 10 of the spies say, not a chance, it's too much work. And 2 of the spies say, God's called us to do this, we need to move forward. And they go with the 10. Democracy is a bad decision when it comes to the will of God, because our call is to follow him no matter what happens. And so we'll see that throughout as we go through these chapters. I mean, the whole pillar of cloud and pillar of fire thing, there's no rhyme or reason, there's no rhythm to what God is doing when he gets them to move. They simply need to follow in obedience. And so as we embark on asking God, who are we called to be and how are we called to live and what are we called to do, our tendency as people will be to set up a formula to say, this is what we do on this day and this is what we do on that day. But God is not about formulas. God is about faithful obedience. Go where I go. Follow as I do. Love as I love. And so as we begin by taking account of who's present amongst us and where we find ourselves in this moment, we have to prepare ourselves and encourage ourselves to say, what is God calling us to do next? And to step out faithfully in those places. Taking a census is easy. Taking the promised land is a whole nother story. And so as we wrestle over these thoughts and questions over the next, like I said, days and weeks ahead, let's wrestle together as the people of God before the throne of our loving God, that we might hear his voice, that we might see his work, and that we might respond obediently to the things he's calling us to do. And so if you're a kid here today, children, pay attention, you're involved in this as well. If you're a teenager here today, you're involved in this as well. If you're a parent, if you're a single person, if you're retired, if you're at the very end of life, you are involved in this process. The census has been taken. We know who we are as individuals, as skulls. I love that phrase. It's so crazy. We've counted our skulls. We've looked around. Let's continue to encourage one another as the people of God to pursue him at all costs. For he is faithful, he is loving, and he invites you and me to join together to proclaim that the kingdom has come, that Jesus is Lord and that he moves in incredible ways to redeem this world that we live in, whether it's here in Calgary where we have all the resources in the world, or whether it's in the middle of the desert of Sinai standing at the foot of a mountain. You and I are called to love one another, to love God with everything we have, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's move forward as his people, pursuing him each step of the way. Shall we pray? Father God, you have called us to be your people. You have commanded us to go into the communities, into the nations, into wherever we may find ourselves proclaiming and making disciples of Jesus Christ. It is easy to follow you, Lord, when you give us simple tasks like taking sensai or doing the work of cleaning. The difficulty comes, Father, when the challenge is great, where the odds seem insurmountable, where it looks like it really, truly will cost us something. And so we pray, Lord, that as we continue to pursue you, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear all that it is that you are doing and all that it is you are calling us to pursue. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and obedient to your call. For we know that you are a loving God, that you are long-suffering, and that your faithfulness knows no bounds. May we today commit to following you day by day and week by week as we pursue the mission you are setting before us. We are your people, Lord, and you are our God. For that we give you praise. Amen.